Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, greetings. How is everybody doing? This is the Goddess Networks and, you know, also the Mystical Muse. Okay, I want to say something right quick and address something because I got a few emails from people trying to find the old Goddess Network page. That page that was open about 9 to 10 years ago on YouTube, it's still up, but all of the videos that I did talking about this particular subject, Black Female Divinity, have been since gone. I've been left the YouTube thing, and I, you know, still teach and just, you know, for a different sect of women. And, of course, it's more underground, and, of course, you know, I'm on Facebook. But I wanted to address this topic because people were looking for me because I used to talk about this a great deal. And yes, I am the Goddess Network. And for those of you all who know who I am or what my page was about, this is not for you. This is for those that are don't know, have heard about me because of other women, may have heard or seen some of my other videos that I did take down, but now other people are putting them up on their pages on YouTube, and they just found me and just basically have some questions about this hot trending topic. Is the Black Woman God, what I call Black Female Divinity, because I don't like the term the Black Woman being God because it is connected to that Hotepian Afrocentric foolishness, and I do say foolishness because that's what it is. It is ran by males. So I don't like that term, but I will say Black Female Divinity. I will say that because I want to make no mistake about it. I am not connected to that community, have never been, never will be. I, you know, on my YouTube, I used to get a lot of flack about that because people in that community would come to my page, and then when they would see that I am pro everything else, you know, they hate homosexuality. I could give a fuck about that. That's the least of our problems as Black women. They hate anything that is white or European. I could give a fuck about that, too, because I know that these Europeans did not have the skill, the linguistic skill, or the mental capacity to do what they did around the globe without help from Black men and Black people. So I don't give a fuck about the phenotype. I also am pro what people would call spirituality, witchcraft, hoodoo. That's what I am. The old South, honey, it's in me. It's not going anywhere. They think that that's spookism and all this other stuff because they're ignorant. So I don't care. I also am Black Female Divinity first. So I challenge the notion of a supreme male God. He doesn't exist. They are fictitious. They are made up to, of course, cover up the real divinity that were Black female divinity. And the gods that we do honor, whether we honor them in what I'm getting ready to talk about, various myths or cosmologies or histories or, you know, oral tradition, art, language, rhetoric, theology, if we honor them, they are the helpers of, consorts of, sons of the feminine. They are not primary. They, you know, men have an appendage for a reason, ladies. Appendage is second. So they are secondary. It does not diminish them. I am one of those that believe that the masculine does need to be honored. I do believe that. They wouldn't even, the masculine wouldn't even exist on the planet if it wasn't supposed to be honored, nor the varying degrees of gender. That's something else. I really don't think the community is ready to even open up that can of worm about these other various mixed genders. So I'm not even going to talk about that. But because they are on the planet, the masculine is on the planet, and he is a powerful help. When he's in his position, ain't nothing like the masculine. When he's in his position, shit gets done. So I honor the masculine. I have a very high respect, as a matter of fact, for the masculine energy. I just do not worship it as supreme. And when I say worship, I'm not talking about what we learned in Christianity of this spooky, pooky foolishness. It just means a very high respect, a high reverence. So I have a very high respect and a tangible reference to the men around me, to the men that prove their functionality. Women don't have to prove function. Men do. She is function. So I have a very high respect for them, but I do not worship or concede my power to them or to the phallus in any type of way. We can work together, but it will never trump the feminine, never. So because of that, I say again, I didn't then when I was on YouTube, and I don't now want to ever be connected to that to that sect of people, to that group of people, to that certain conscious thing, because to me they are not conscious. They're not. There may be certain people inside of it that are conscious. Over the years, I've talked to some of the brothers and that respect Black female divinity, and they're very nice. And at the same time, I've talked to some of the sisters who say they respect Black female divinity, but they're crazy out their damn mind and very jealous and combative and ornery. So I've learned just in life that people are people, that you just have to see the essence of them, and if they're good and genuine and wholesome, then that's one thing. They honor their word. But other than that, they can say whatever cause they're for. It can be a cause for justice. It can be a cause for consciousness. It can be a cause to, let's go back to Africa. It can be any cause. But when you get to talk to the person and know the person, you see that, sometimes they're completely different than what they once were, especially in that community, because some of the women are like, they just are fanatics about certain things, and they especially wearing your head wraps and all this other stuff, and making sure that you eat healthy. They can, all that's right, but they can go overboard. And if you're not like them any type of way, if you wear your hair down, if you eat pork, if you they can. The women are very, very cruel in that community. So. True to patriarchy, they are their handmaidens, they are the Eve, they are the clones, they are exactly what those men created them to be. So I say all that to say I don't get caught up in it, and that is why people debated it so much on my page when I had it, because they could not figure me out. I would talk about goddess, I would talk about dark goddess, because that's what I'm more of. I'm more on the side of the darkness than anything. Then I would talk about various pantheons. They would get upset because I did not prescribe to Kemet being the oldest pantheon. I never will. There was a sister that told me, she was talking to one of her Ethiopian prince. She still is a prince, but one of her little suitors, and we had a long conversation about this, honey, and I agree with him 100%. If Egypt is the child, Ethiopia is the mother, and a lot of them don't respect a lot of people in the Black conscious community, because they're always pushing up Egypt when they need to be pushing up the mother, Ethiopia. So I will never again say, I've never said it, but I never will say that the Kemet pantheon is the oldest, because I know it is not. And not only that, my mentor, who is now gone, Catherine Rashamuno, rest in peace, she wrote that powerful book. If y'all followed me during that time, then y'all know, I told you all to get that book. She's gone now, so her books are tend to, be poof, pow, be gone. But I think you could still get one or two of them on PDF, but she's written so many that now, of course, are gone. That's why I told you all to get them. But she and I, even in our conversations, she would talk about Nigeria, and she would talk about so many things, and she was a language linguistic master. That's what she was, taught in, among other things. And, when you talk to someone that knows words, ladies, it opens up a whole new, oh, my gosh, a whole new paradigm for you. So just having conversations with her and what she found and had pictures of and talked to and decoded in symbol and decoded in language, I will never say Kemet is the oldest. I know better. Now, some of y'all can speculate, but I know better. So, again, because of that, I never chose one pantheon over the other. I never did. I always stayed universal, because that's what I believe the Black divinity, the feminine divinity is. She is global. All of us don't have an out-of-Africa story. Some of us were already here, honey, and that's told in the various temples that were already in the Americas. That's told in the various serpent mounds that were already here. So, it's again, they could not pinpoint me, and that's what they wanted to do. They wanted me to choose a side, and the only side I have chosen and the only side I will ever choose is the side of the black female divinity, a woman's divinity, but really black feminine divinity first, because we need to know it more than anything else. We are the mothers. That is exactly what we are, no matter how our children are acting. We are the mothers. So I honor that. And, again, I will always push for women to be global, for women to study our forms of art all over the globe, no matter what the phenotype is, no matter what the gender, no matter what people's sexual orientation. If you let that stuff stop you, then you definitely do not have a clue to what being a god or being the supreme divinity is. You don't have the same rules that apply to everybody else. The mother and the son are not the same. The mother and the daughter are not the same. The mother and the child are not the same. The rules that the son, the daughter, and the children follow and adhere to are not the same that the mother. Hell, the father don't even have the same rules as the mother does. So you're not equal to your children. You're not. So, again, they may need to stay compartmentalized until they have proved that they are wise enough to open themselves up to more knowledge. But you do not have to stay compartmentalized, black woman, female. You don't. You don't have to. And I never did. And, of course, because of that, I used to have so many debates on the page. Again, I will never be connected to one pantheon. I will never be connected to one religious theology. I will never, ladies, I just won't. That's just who I am, and I'm not making any apologies for it. Now, if you want to choose a pantheon, of course, there's nothing wrong with that. You're divine. I just will not choose one. I just don't believe that we as women, especially as black women, know enough to choose one of anything. I think that you need to have a global perspective. You need to talk to women all over the globe, because women are the ones that lay down culture. If you don't know that, if you keep studying matriarchy and the existence of the supreme masculine, supreme feminine / masculine principle, you will see that it's just too marvelous and it's too vast to even be contained. So you're going to learn that you can choose whatever path you want to go in, but typically I tell people to reserve judgment until you have enough information. And then choose what you want to do, because again, we just don't know enough. That's just the truth. We do not know enough to be choosing one or the other. I say if this is a plan for you, or something that you want to learn more about, choose that pantheon, choose that form of theology, choose that form of worship, choose that form of initiation system. I don't care if it's Christian, because truth be told, the feminine is all up in that Christian pantheon. Some folks don't even know there is a Christian pantheon, but it is. It's also in the Catholic canon too, with them saints. So even if you choose that, if you know what you're looking at, if you are studied in it, then of course choose it. That's your path. Our wisdom has been, you know, sent to the various corners of the world. So choose that, and then when your season is up there, then choose another one. Just don't get stuck. Guys don't get stuck, females. We don't get stuck. So, again, I just would never do it. It's fine for everybody else. I did the same thing that I'm telling you. I went through all of the pantheons. I went through various history. I went through various theology sects and learned. And then I just decided that, hell, we was too vast to be contained. So I didn't choose one or the other. I am. I'll say the only thing is I've chosen something. I'll say that I've chosen hoodoo, because that's me, root working. I mean, that's just always been in our family, no matter how much my parents didn't want me to get involved in it or how scary it was in the Bible Belt. But that I've always been hoodoo. I'm never going to change that. And then if I had to choose a pantheon, I would. I'd go to these two. I'd have to go into Kush. I'd have to go into Ethiopia and the Etruscans. I'm just fascinated with the Etruscans. I just am. There's something about that Manoah snake goddess and serpent worship is something I would choose that because it's my passion also. So I would choose the Etruscans because of the Minoan snake goddess, and I would choose, of course, Ethiopian Kush all day long. I would choose that. And then, no, that's it. That's it. Because I do love, I don't know. I would just choose those two if that was my choice. But, again, because of that, and because now there's this, you know, it's become very cliquish, the black woman is God. That's one of the reasons why I left YouTube. It's become very, very cliquish, and I saw it going that way, and I didn't want to be connected to it in any type of way. So because now I guess more people are debating it and more people are talking about it, they are looking for women, female teachers. I think there's this sister that has come out basically saying that, you know, the black woman isn't God. And, of course, anybody can say whatever they want. That's their prerogative. It's really – I mean, when you really learn, ladies, you'll see that there's nothing to debate or nothing for you to really waste your time with. There's too much life to be lived. The goodness of life is there for all women. It's really there for all black women. We've just chose the struggle narrative, and we've chose a male supreme deity narrative, so we tend to not see it. But life is really good. Power. That you'll see that you're going to be so busy doing what you want to do, wanting to expand the way you view and perceive things and expand your experiences, that you will not have time to debate a constant. You know, I can understand people debating a static, but you can look around the globe, honey, and see that even women in their oppressed state still have the power of life and death. It has nothing to do with the sperm. Because we need the sperm for, you know, different variations, especially in gender. But I'll just throw this in there for other things because the sperm really takes on a lot of the problems. The Y chromosome takes on a lot of the problems that the X chromosome through the years and just because of evolution have, you know, brought upon herself. So, I mean, even in that shows you that they were, you know, they were kind of brought here to fix a problem. It's the problem that we were having, females. But you, like I said, you can see it in genetics. So, so again, you know, it doesn't matter what our state is, you still see that we are the ones that control life. It's not about that spark. The female is already born whole. She's already born with her eggs, whether she uses them or not. He's the one that has to continue to reproduce. And it's just, ladies, it's already there. I mean, if you know what you're looking at, You're the trump card because it doesn't matter if you're pregnant or not. If you choose to kill, to terminate, and recycle that life force, then it doesn't come to life. So, I mean, you're the one that holds it. So you got to be careful with, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, debating that notion of parthenogenesis and having children out, you know, without men. I mean, really, ladies, if that's what y'all are debating, then you're going to lose. do not debate on the concept of parthenogenesis. Don't debate on that. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But, no, just leave the topic of parthenogenesis alone. People are just not educated enough in it, in what it really is to even talk about it. I know black people aren't. That topic just needs to – you don't need to debate your divinity with that. That's you just don't. And I'll talk about that in a minute. If that's what you're using to prove your divinity, you're going to lose. So it's so much and it's so varying and it's a beautiful thing, but at the same time it's kind of disheartening because you know I knew it when I left YouTube that. All this stuff was, I saw it going to the cliquish way. And make no mistake about it, ladies. When I was on YouTube, none of these people existed. Well, they existed, but they weren't talking about this topic. They didn't exist. I did a thorough search concerning this topic and black female divinity and if the black woman was God. I did an extensive search before I put the first video up. And the only videos up at that time were white women, and white men talking about the great feminine. All these videos y'all see here now, ladies, they didn't exist. These people did not exist. So, well, again, they existed, but they didn't exist in this topic. They were not talking about it. And those that were on YouTube in those days with me know good time well that they were not, that I sparked a firestorm when I put up Dr. Dilbert Blair's woman lecture. That's when the shit got heated, because there was a video up with Dr. Blair. You know, they put up all their teachers. But that video with Dr. Blair that was up was the man lecture. Again, no one was talking about female divinity. None of this black, but none of that stuff, it just wasn't there. And Dr. Blair's video, and I found that video and I spoke to him, rest in peace, and he told me that that video was a part of a longer series, that it had the woman, the man, and the child. And I said, oh, it did. So he sent me a copy. And when I watched it, I knew that the man who had put up the man, the male segment of the Dr. Dilbert Blair video was full of shit. Because, again, Dr. Dilbert Blair was right. Before that male, he had spoke extensively on the female. So that man purposely knew of that Dr. Dilbert Blair basically said the feminine energy was, you know, Master Trump. And he did not put that part up. So when I saw it, I put it up. And like I said, it was a shitstorm. I think that started a whole hell of a damn lot of debate on my Goddess Network page, a whole hell of a lot. And so I put that up. And in that portion, in that section, Dr. Dilbert Blair said so much. And he also gave books to read. And long story short, from there, I started to put up more. I started to talk about more things as it pertained to black female divinity, because I knew it. I met some very powerful, powerful women, and some honorable men too. And, you know, other videos started coming up about matriarchy, because they didn't exist at that time. So black female or black matriarchy, videos about it, not someone just mentioning it here and there, but videos, extensive talk like it is now, that didn't exist. It wasn't there when I started. And so, you know, the Moorish people had came out, you know, by that time, they were, oh, there was debates on if the Moors did it. It was a hot mess. I mean, but a lot of people started coming out after that and talking more about vagina supremacy. Another sister that I'm pretty sure y'all know, she was out. Now, she was out. The other sister was out. She was talking about vagina power. She was not talking about matriarchy or black female divinity. I knew that she knew it, though, but, you know, she was talking about other things, about, you know, spiritual sexuality, and she needed to, because she knew that that was a big problem. And so she was out talking about female sexual issues and stuff and the power of the vagina, but she wasn't talking about black female divinity, even though I knew that she was, you know, she was a smart woman and that she knew it. And so, like I said, it just kind of crescendoed. And it got to the point where it was too much. And I said, fuck all this shit, because I didn't want it to be, I didn't want what I was saying or what I was teaching to be cultish. And I don't have a problem with that word cult, because I know the feminine origin of it, but most people don't. So they you know, put, you know, negative, or they ascribe negative connotations to it. So I didn't want it. I didn't want what I was saying. I was going around the globe, ladies. I was talking about this stuff around the globe. I was giving history around the globe. I was teaching classes. I was doing book studies. Some of you all that have followed me that long know that we got some serious book studies in. So, you know, and I was showing y'all books that I had access to, again, that I said were written in the 1800s, honey. They, you know, by Ivy League colleges. So when these people sit up there and say there's no proof, ladies, they're stupid and they're ignorant. And they don't need to have any proof. You don't need, again, you don't need to prove it. If they want to know, the information is there. If matriarchy existed, if they want to know about partisan, all that information, honey, there's, but see, if they don't know where to look, and the majority of them are not looking in medical directives, so they're ignorant. Like I said, that's why there should not be a debate Because, again, we don't know enough. For as much as I know, I can still say that I do not know enough. We do not. So in my estimation, there should be no debate about it. There shouldn't be any debate. What it should be is a coming together of study. That's what it should be, some connection between just female groups, just male groups, and then, of course, maybe a mixing of the groups on just what the female is and just what the male is. But debate, no. It's non-debatable. If everybody knows it, that got some sense, ladies. You're not watching the Game of Thrones where they're talking about the mothers, and you're seeing it that it is the ending of matriarchy going into patriarchy. Ladies, if you watch anime, they've been doing this anime for years, honey. They have all their little occult cartoons that have all the feminine energies and all the goddesses in it. Ladies, I mean, again, if you know what to look for, the information is there. Now, if black people in America want to honor it, it doesn't matter. Black people in America are ignorant anyway. Y'all know what we're going through. Y'all know we got all these damn problems that we're behind. There's no need in lying about it. But other cultures that are more intact than ours, y'all know why the black culture is not intact. We're not even getting ready to get into that. But that are more intact, that have a language, that have art, have what I'm getting ready to talk to you all about more, you know, history, oriental cosmology, they have that. So that's who you need to be finding your information from, not a black culture that can't even speak its original language 3-4 generations back. Why are you even talking to them for verification and validation? Black women, you need to wake up and stop that foolishness. You cannot go to someone that is just as ignorant as you for any type of validation on who you are. No, especially someone that's younger, if he's a male. Men haven't been on this planet as long as women have been on this planet. So, I mean, they were introduced because, you know, we were having problems with our own biology and bullshit. So that's why that strand that, you know, was introduced. So, and again, if you look into genetics, it will tell you, it will show you all of this. So, in evolution, see, black folks don't believe that. See, again, I'm getting ready to talk about it. Because we're ignorant and we're looking for answers in the wrong areas, you know, we don't like, black people tend to not like to study evolution. I've studied it extensively. You have to study it because, ladies, that is, I mean, that's what happened. Now, it may not have happened to all of us and the human species, but it did happen. And evolution means different. It doesn't mean what you think it means. If you see evolution as someone being born that, you know, that used to be a damn fish, no matter that you are born in an aquatic, you know, circumstance in your mother's womb. I mean, I guess you're going to forget that you were born in an aquatic circumstance, you know, because you don't want to be connected to no damn fish and lizards and shit. You know, some of the stuff, we're just so stupid and ignorant. But, no, we did evolve. I mean, that's the truth. Now, how we evolved, that's what you got to study, because everybody didn't evolve the same way. Some of us, I like to say, de-evolved. We came from higher beings into the human existence that we have now. So, and again, everybody's DNA is mapped and charted different. If you're only looking at evolution based on the evolutionists, some of them, the mainstream white evolutionists believe that, you know, we came out of the water and into, you know, stages of animals and stuff. If that's what you think evolution is, if that's all you're seeing, then you're going to miss it. Because evolution is so much deeper. It's so much deeper than that. So, again, I didn't want to be connected to it, and I'm not going to be connected to it. I'm only making this blog show because some of you all have found me and wanted to know what I thought about all of this stuff that's going on now with this black woman debate. Again, ladies, I don't care about it, so, and I don't want you to care about it. I want you to study it. I want it to, you know, spark you into some extensive study. If you, I'll put my website in the description box because you can go to my website. I have tons of classes. But I want you to get into study, but I don't want you to get into study for the sake of proving who you are. There's no proof. that you can give to someone that will never accept you. There's just nothing. That's why I say you can't debate a constant. You can't debate something that is. You can debate a static, but you cannot debate a constant. And when you learn that, a whole another world comes up. So I want to spend the rest of the time talking about this. And I didn't want this to be long, but, you know, the topic is what it is because I guess, you know, it's trendy now. So I wanted to address it. Now, I just said something, ladies, because what I noticed in some of the videos that you all sent me asking me my opinion, that the topic of black female divinity, her being a god, is connected to parthenogenesis. I'm going to say this once. On my website, too, there is a parthenogenesis class, so I think you could sign up for it. I think we went 4 or 5 days. Not sure. We went 4 or 5 days. But, okay, hold on. Let's check it. Okay. You can get that class if you want to hear a group of women talk about it and us actually go through a study together. But I want to say this, because that topic, ladies, does not need to be talked about around men. The topic of parthenogenesis gets into something that is highly secretive and highly powerful and potent, and it is what I call sex rights. Men are not to know about or participate in female fertility, female sex rights, period. If you are believing that parthenogenesis is as simple as women having children without babies, you are mislearned. It is a lot more deeper than that. And this is why I say you will lose if you debate on that premise alone, because every woman did not participate in parthenogenesis. That was for a set of women, a very high, powerful set of women. And it was for a certain purpose. It was to duplicate a certain bloodline. It was to bring in higher evolved children, what people call now avatars. We, you know, see that this is the one that the majority of you all know, there were so many more, but which is Mary in her birthing the Christ child, Jesus. That is what the majority of us know of, because we come out of Christianity, a Western form of Christianity, because this form of Christianity, ladies, is not the older form. Them Roman and Gypsies, they don't worship or use Christianity the way that you do. Those of us that are in Hoodoo, we don't use the Bible the way that you do. See, again, you have to have a bigger, global, expansive perspective on this stuff. So you can't debate your Trump power based on parthenogenesis, because as soon as the men say, well, show me someone doing it, you can't show them. And ladies, they don't, well, some of them still do exist, that mind, but they don't exist for men to know about. They don't exist for women to know about, because again, it is connected to sex rights. It is something that people will never, if they respect the female anatomy and the female body and what parthenogenesis is, not what you believe it is, you know, just having a baby without a man, just to procreate. No, those women's wombs were holy. That's why I'm trying to tiptoe, because there's certain things that I know that I'm not even supposed to say. Because again, when they say, show us somebody having it, you can't show them. And they're right in that estimation, because the majority of the women never did it. So when they do point back to, Dr. Blair pointed back to this, other people that have taught on parthenogenesis, because a lot of these mysteries are coming back out, ladies, they point to various temples, you know, the main one being, of course, the Parthenon, for this stuff. But again, those of you all that are in Gnosticism, you all know, those that have studied the Kabbalah based on the female cosmology, you all know too that when these women in the Bible story were quote unquote barren, and you think because you have a patriarchal mindset as a female that they just wanted a child. No, that's not what that story means. Not at all. They were barren and they wanted an avatar. They were going to a certain tree, ladies. I'll just say this, and if you can figure it out on your own, you can. They were going to a certain tree in that biblical canon. They were going to a certain temple. And once they went to that oracular tree, and there's a reason why trees used to be seen as oracular in the female stories, in the female myth, and in the female history, is because they were going to petition for a holy child. They weren't barren because they just, you know, couldn't have a baby and they wanted a son. That's bullshit. That's what you all are trained to think, because we're trained to think as women in that our bodies serve men, that our babies serve men, that our sexuality serves men. So when you read that in the Bible, you think, well, she just wanted a baby so she could have an heir for her husband. No, she wanted a holy child. She wanted an avatar. And they went to that tree, that oracular tree, which represents something else that I won't go into. And they asked and they petitioned the spirit, they're going to call in that Bible, their God, for this oracular child. And they, conceived. And then you will see that they did what? They dedicated that child. They took that child to them holy Parthenon temple. That's what it took them. So, again, you see that this story, but, again, if you don't know what you're looking at and it's not explained to you, then you don't see that the story of parthenogenesis is even in the Bible. It's plenty of places. But, again, it's not something that sane women will ever talk to men about. It's not something they would ever debate. Again, because every woman didn't do it, the women that are what we are now have not been called by a holy form of consciousness to bring a awareness on this planet. Some women's wombs have. The majority of us have not. We are not that anointed. I know we want to be high-minded black women, and we want to say that, you know, we're the first cause and all this other stuff, and that our bodies are going to be set aside for holy purposes. Ladies, get over yourself. That's not going to happen. We got so much other shit to deal with. Bringing an avatar, a holy child here that you cannot even put in private school, whose father will not even participate in their upbringing, who you cannot dedicate to a temple as those avatars were, and be brought up in an environment that is conducive to a more higher way of thinking. Honey, you thinking about having a holy child via parthenogenesis and think you're going to bring them up in public school? You're ignorant. So, no, that you can't debate parthenogenesis. I'll just say that. If that's what you're using to prove black female divinity, you're going to lose. It should never be talked about, and I won't talk about it outside of the study that I've already done on it. I may, depending on if I, you know, it just depends. It depends on the spirit. It depends on you. I may point you in the direction, you know, depending on, it just depends. Depending on whatever, it just depends. 9 times out of 10, I'm not going to do it. But I may point you in that direction if spirit gives me permission to. But the majority of us talk too much. We are male-led, male-focused, and it's not, again, parthenogenesis needs to not come out of the majority of black women's mouths. It just does not. But if you are called to understand women and reproduction in that form and why it was really a holy art and why Medusa's ass really got damn punished because her ass was over there messing with them damn sex rights and parthenogenic rights, then I trust spirit will lead you. Just like spirit led me, spirit will lead you. I trust that 100%. So don't debate parthenogenesis. For those that are asking me the question, if you want to get into it, get my book study. And my book study will tell you where you can look if you pay attention to what we talk about. But other than that, just I think you need to leave that topic alone. It is is not ever supposed to be talked about or debated with men. Sex rights, female sex rights were never supposed to be male inclusive anyway. Now, males were used, their phallus was used, their nature and all their fluids were used, but they really were not included, again, unless they were used for a certain purpose. And I respect that. That's something that I've had to say over and over, that I am a teacher of the art of the craft of life. So because I teach the art and not this Harry Potter version of what people believe life is about, then I'm going to respect certain aspects and secrecy, and I'm going to respect certain rights of it. It's not about what you know or what you think you know. You're going to learn that the more you know, the less you talk. the less you talk. So again, do not debate the position, the premise of black woman being God or black female divinity, all in parts in the Genesis. You will lose. You will lose. If that topic shouldn't even come up, in my estimation. What you can do, ladies, and I'll go through these briefly because I've taught on them for years. What you can do to prove your divinity is debate in these six areas: cosmology, history, orature, mythology, language, and art. And I'm going to take each one of them briefly because I don't even know how long I've been on this. Oh, yeah, because I'm definitely not going to go over an hour. Cosmology. Again, this is why you cannot stay to one pantheon or one demographic of people. If men want to stay that way, yes, they typically follow what their women or their mothers did anyway. Whatever she told them to do, that's what they did. But women, no. You cannot. If you begin to open your insight up in the area of cosmology, you will see that there are female-based cosmologies that are older than the male-based cosmology. And this is why cosmology is important. See, again, I am a teacher of the art. This is why it is important, because we are following male cosmological origin. Do we not believe that some supreme male god created the earth in 7 days or however damn long? That is a cosmology, meaning the connection to the cosmos, the creation of life. You got to go as a woman, black woman, you got to go to your cosmology. If you have never went to your cosmology, you cannot debate this. As a matter of fact, you don't even need to have a conversation with it, because the only cosmology that's running rampant through our subconscious minds is male cosmology. That's it. If you don't know the female cosmology off the back of your hands from various pantheons, civilizations, then, you know, for me, I won't even have a conversation with you about matriarchy. I just won't, because to me, before you talk to me, you have to have certain things down. If you are new, then of course, you know, some of us, y'all are in my group, so we talk about this stuff all the time. Or, you know, if you have like a specific question and you get a consultation, we talk. If you're learning, then it's something different. But if people believe or have some perception of knowledge about black female divinity or the black woman being God, and all they know is Ptah masturbated and created life. I mean, again, there are tons of cosmologies, ladies, tons of them. I would say hundreds and thousands of cosmologies. If the majority of your insight connecting to cosmological origins, no matter if you believe it or not. See, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter if you believe the story, if you believe history. It doesn't matter. It is in our culture, and all cultures, all nations, ladies, have a cosmology. All nations. All nations. And the majority of the time, those cosmologies are based on some male god. I don't care if they say they're atheists. They can say that if they want. But because that might be them personally. In reality, I'll throw this in: atheist really meant in the way of the Greek and the Romans, who kind of created that whole sect anyway, it really meant goddess worship. That's what it really meant, pagan. So when these people are saying they're atheists, they don't believe in God, they just don't know the Greek-Roman origin of what that word is. But it really means goddess worship. It really means pagan. But if they say that they're atheists in the definition of the English definition, saying that they don't believe in God, ladies, it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't, because the culture that they're brought up in does, and they are still influenced by that culture. You see that anytime you go to a mosque. You see that anytime you go to a church. You see that anytime you go to one of the holy ruins, that there is some form of cosmology, something connecting that culture, that nation, to being created. So, again, if you go into the cosmology of black female divinity, you will see that we trump theirs. And that even if you're going to go with the Christian pantheon and say that there was a flood, if you go into cosmology, the feminine cosmology, you will see that it is not a male god that brought the flood, honey, that it is a female god that brought the flood. So, again, and if you have children, I encourage you to teach your children to go and give your children options. Give them permission to study other cosmology. You have to, because, again, if you're going to debate this, you got to know what in the hell you're talking about. History, what we like to term her story. Ladies, that whole damn timeline is fucked up. But again, if you go into history and the history behind history, you will see your story. You will see her story. If you just stop at the patriarchal version of history, then you're going to lose. But if you start studying who, ladies, I'm going to give you a trick. If you start studying who these conquerors' mothers were, you're going to find out a whole hell of a lot. A whole hell of a lot, honey, because we are patriarchal in thinking. We tend to think that history starts and stops with the male conquerors or the male rulers or the quote-unquote male pharaohs. But no. If you ask who these males were and who their mothers were, you're going to find out some serious info. You're going to find out who raised these men, and you're going to find out the traditions of these men as they were laid down from their mothers. I had a debate with someone about Buddha and the female Buddhas, because, you know, they don't talk about them. And he was talking about one of the male Buddhas. And I said one thing and shut the whole damn talk down. I said, who was his mother? See, they can't even answer that. If you can't answer who your male conqueror or your male avatar's mother was, then you are not talking to me. We're not. Again, there's no debate. There's no conversation, because, see, I know who their mothers were, and I'm not going to tell them. They're going to have to find it. Since they know every damn thing else, since they want to debate every damn thing, you have time to go through history to prove your point. So go gather some time and go through history to listen to the opposition, the opponent, opponent's point of view. Do that. How about that? So, no, they can't talk to me about no male Buddha, because I'm going to ask, how did he get here? And see, typically, in the male Buddha cosmology and even in the male Buddha history, he came from a woman in a holy way, back to i.e. parthenogenesis, unless they're going to, you know, try to lie on the female, which, you know, they love to do it. But see, it doesn't work with me, because I know history, and you have to study history and her story. And again, the trick is, ladies, is to find out who these men's mothers were. Find out who their mothers were. Even on in the Kemet pantheon, I don't want to talk about this apparently, but it's true, if you look and you'll find it, that the male pharaohs that were picked, and I say male pharaohs because it has already been proven in oral tradition and history that the term pharaoh never meant male. It meant the female, the perka. It was the female high house. You know, there's a video on this. This has already been proven. So you can keep saying pharaoh as male as you want, but there were no male pharaohs in Kemet, ladies, in Egypt. There was none. that Pharaoh was a woman. And what you're seeing is, of course, brother-sister connection. But long story short, I'm not going to go into that. If you want to know it, you will find it. The quote-unquote male pharaohs were also born, ladies, in very, very interesting circumstances. So, again, study them. But go and find out who their mothers were. That'll tell you a whole hell of a lot. And you're thinking, y'all are thinking, intelligent women, you will start putting these pieces together for yourself so that when the debates come, if you choose to get into it, which I don't know why you would, you can handle yourself. But once you learn this stuff, if you choose not to talk about it, then, you know, I don't blame you because, again, you can't debate a constant. The next thing that you have to learn outside of cosmology and outside of history to connect yourself to black female divinity, your godship, is something that we also don't want to honor in our academic minds, in our academic nature, in the nature of the art, of the air element of intellect and technology, orature. Ladies, I have said this a million times, and I know the goddesses that are around me, some of them don't even like hearing it. You're not going to find out about your divinity solely out of reading out of a book. That's a, honey, if that's what you're thinking, you are definitely out of order. Because in matriarchal cultures, we had a very strong oral tradition. See, what we're trying to do is piece together information based on a book that someone else wrote. That's nothing wrong with that. I love academia. But it can only take you, black female, so far. Now, if the men want to stop at the history book and after reading the books, then that's fine. But you, again, the rules for you, the female, and the male are two different things. Y'all are not equal. So you got to go past that because there are certain things that were passed down in oral tradition from mother to daughter, from women to women, that men will never have access to. Never. You're going to have to get on the ground. You're going to have to go and see some of these places for yourself. You're going to have to talk to some of the current residents. One of my girlfriends took this trip to Mexico. And I think she had a translator or someone. But long story short, she took this little hike thing, long story short, and she hiked her into this secluded little cave, this a cave system, what it was, what she told me. And long story short, she was talking to the guide, and they were getting translations, and the Mexican guy told her, honey, that that place in Mexico was once ruled by nothing but women. Now, had she not got on the ground and actually went to go see some of these holy places, caves and temples, i.e. studying history, she would not have met the tour guide that told her. She went in. She went in. And she not only having that experience, seeing these things with your own eyes, but talking to the native residents. It doesn't matter if they're the original inhabitants. We know that they're not the original inhabitants. We know that there's been a whole lot of mixing of the bloodline. But, again, other cultures still have their stories in check, even if they believe that it's theirs. But never mind, Christopher Columbus told us that in his own writings. That he saw a bunch of women and that women were in power. He said that in his own fucking writings. So, I mean, we don't like Chris Columbus. We know he was a racist and a damn murderer. We know what he did, but he wrote this in his own writings. So she could have read that, but no, she got on the ground, lady, and talked to people. This is what you want to have to do. Ladies, I'm connected because of my connection to witchcraft and spirituality and all that other stuff. To groups and covens of women, and we talk, and what those women know, what those women say behind closed doors, what they will never say on a fucking video or a goddamn blog talk show, what they will never put in a book, they will tell you in secret. Some of these same women teachers that y'all have seen on YouTube, if you find favor with them, they will tell you some heavy shit. They will. You think they're saying one thing on the video on YouTube, but you get to know them, sisters, them knowledgeable ones, honey, the ones that know some shit. No, they're going to tell you something different. And it's not going to be what you saw. So, again, if you want to debate this or you want to know who you are, ladies, you cannot get out of our oracular oral tradition. You know that women and men used to have two different languages, ladies. I'm going to talk about language in a minute. But we had two different forms of speech so that what was said to men in our public connection with them was not what women said to other women. Completely different, ladies. And, I mean, if you want to find that out, that's, ladies, that's there too. But, see, if you don't have a guideline, then you don't know where to look. What you're doing is just reading stuff that people tell you, or you're sticking to a certain pantheon and reading those books. No, you got to go into the cosmology of the world. You got to go into the history of the world. You have to go into the orator of the world. Next, you got to go into mythology. Do not let these niggas tell you that mythology doesn't matter. Oh, mythology matters when it's coming out of their holy books, when they want to talk about the myths of the great male gods. Oh, yeah, mythology matters then. But no, when you start talking about the mythology of the feminine, they want to tell you that that's spookism. Ladies, you are talking, when people say that, you are talking to men and women with inferior minds. Mythology is culture. It is history written in code. It is the great parable. Mythology is the great mystery system. If you can get into it and dissect it, ladies, it'll tell you everything you want to know. It'll tell you everything. It's not a coincidence that all these other nations have a mythology. So you want to debate your position and listen to me and tell you that mythology doesn't matter when the system that rules the world has a mythology? Ladies, come out of the clouds. You know, just come out of it. If anyone tells you that the myth don't have value or they're not valid because they're connected to something mythological or something mystic, ladies, those people don't understand the art of life. Let them go. You don't debate them. There's no, their mind is inferior. You all know this. Even in undergrad, it depends on what you went into. Maybe if you went into more literature, but even in elementary school or middle school, high school, they want you to know the myth, you know. And I'm tired of the Greek myths everywhere, but I love them because, again, I know that those Greek myths are pointing to something else. They're pointing to something else. And if you pay attention, you'll see that them Greek myths are telling a story about black people. Don't get caught up in the phenotype. That's not true. But, again, don't let these people that don't have a culture, that don't have the ability to speak various languages, which I can talk about now, don't let those people tell you that the myths don't matter. They matter tremendously. Anyone that understands the goodness of life, the expansiveness of life, knows that life tells its story in mythology. It tells its story. Culture is laid down in all these things that I'm talking about. But when you come from a people that, you know, whose culture has been taken from them, and, you know, we're disconnected with the art of life, we think that the myths are superstition. The next one, language. I didn't know how important linguistics played in the telling of matriarchal history until I started talking with Catherine Acemuno. That woman is such a treasure. I'm just amazed, too, that our teachers, you know, the women that can teach other women the truth about matriarchy and black female divinity, that they decided to leave this planet, that they got to a certain space, ladies, and said, the hell with this shit, and got up on up out of here. But, you know, love, hate, you know, because I wish that they would have stayed longer, but I guess, you know, it is just what it is, because when they pass, all of the wisdom that is held in that woman, see, it's not about a man passing, it's about a woman, because she is the first teacher, and because she's the first teacher, she's really the only teacher that matters. What that woman has seen, what she has lived, what she knows, what she was educated in, or what she just learned in the school of hard knocks. When a woman dies, ladies, that's truly cause for mourning. Because a world of cosmology, history, oratory, mythology, language, and art left with her. Left with her. So, again, I didn't know how important. I love words anyway, but I really didn't love them as much as I do now because of her. Because of her. And because of her, I started looking into just, you know, because I'm not good. Now, language is not my strong suit. It's just not. So I'm not good at it, but I started to look into it more and just listen to her, you know, explain to me the difference in, you know, the English language and all these various other languages, and that if you wanted to really understand the roots of history, the roots of the human story, the roots of women, that you were going to have to learn different languages. You were going to have to learn. So right now, there's a book on female divinity that I want to read that is in German. So I'm going back and forth on whether I want to even get back into German, the German dialect. My father's military, so I used to stay there for a while. So I know some of it, but, you know, when you don't practice it, you lose it. It's been years for me. So I'm thinking about going back into it because there's this one book written by this German female historian, and it's written in German about matriarchy, and I want to read it. So long story short, I'm thinking about that or seeing if I can get someone to translate it for me. But it made me want to learn a different language because, again, other languages, when you can read other people's stories based on their other languages, it opens up a whole new view. Language, ladies, opens up the mind. It really, 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 really does. So, again, you can't really debate female divinity when you stick to one way of communicating, and language is more than just speech too, but when you connect to one way of communicating, it's hard. You know, one thing she taught me was that there was a language of food, and that when you eat with someone, the way that someone eats, what is prepared tell the story in of itself. And she told me that the story is connected to the women that prepared it. So when you go to the story of the women that prepared it, you get into what is called agriculture. And I told a bunch of women in one of my calls one time to get that book. I can't even remember it now, but one of the sisters posted that because I have private groups on Facebook. Email me if you want to sign up and join for one. But we were talking about that book. I think it was The Creation of Patriarchy. I can't remember the name of that book. I've read it so many over the years. Y'all that are listening to it, I know I can't remember. I told Sarah Sire to get it, and I know she got it, but I know other women listened to me when I said it, so. Because she wanted to understand more about why patriarchy was created, and I told her to get that book. But I can't remember the name of the book, but one of the other girls in the group had also purchased the book, and she was posting certain pages. And in the group, we got to talking about what language of dying connected to, which was the women, and the women were connected to the ones that prepared the food, also the women that gathered the food. So guess what? They were the first, agriculturalists. And we saw that in that book, and she posted a picture of it. I can't remember, ladies, but whoever, if y'all know what I'm talking about, jump that thread or tell me the name of that book, because there's a few books that have the word patriarchy in it, but it was this one specific one that I told Sia to get that the rest of you all got, too, that wanted to learn it. So she posted it, and basically it said what we had already knew, that women were the ones that were in charge of, quote-unquote, evolving the crops. So, again, because I learned various languages and I learned how to talk to people various ways, it's not just speech. Speech is very important. It's not just that. It's body language in of itself. This is why, in my estimation, and I still teach on this, female sexuality and sensuality, because if you can start talking to the man or the matter or whatever it is that you're trying to bring or call forth to yourself. Women, you are the mystery system. If the language of your body starts to get into this dance of life, there will be nothing that is held from you. Nothing that is held from you. And I also learned this too, studying language more, getting books about various forms of language, that what you all in Christianity call the speaking of tongues is really a sex language. I'll leave that there. And the last thing that you as women, if you want to debate your power, or like I said, don't debate it, but you want to learn more about who you are as God, and you want to learn the art of it, not this bullshit that's out here now, but the art of it, is that you must do that. You must learn the art. Ladies, the Greek muses are what they are. They are what they are. They're telling you that it is women that inspired creation in all forms of art. It doesn't matter if it's poetry, rhetoric, theology, astronomy. It is the feminine ladies that did that. And when you get into and start studying not just who the Greek muses were, because you can, I don't want you to get caught up on, again, the pantheon or the phenotype. I want you to get into the art of life so that you can understand why those arts attributed to the muses, attributed to the female power, why those arts matter, why they matter, and why Greek philosophers. See, don't get caught up when these people are talking about philosophy as if something bad. No, philosophy is for high minds. It challenges your way of thinking. The only people that don't like mythology don't want their attitudes and their paradigms changed. You don't need to be having a conversation with them anyway. They got low minds. No, these great philosophers came out saying and proving that those arts are connected to the female inspiration. Ladies, that's really why you're God, because you are the inspired one. And see, you got to figure that out. I can teach that all day long, but you got to know why you're the inspired one. You got to know why these niggas go to work for you, why they buying cars so they can get in your hands, why they do what they do or don't do what they do, because a woman either treated them well or a woman either treated them wrong, i.e. their mother's womb. That daddy shit, that shit don't even matter as much as people think it matters. No, they're mad, they may be mad at their dads because they dads abandoned them and left them and did all that other shit, but no, really, subconsciously, when they ask us to get therapy, they want to know that they're not really mad at that father. They're mad at the mother because she chose that man, or, you know, she let that man mistreat her. Ladies, it's about the mother. It's about the mother. But see, when you understand what inspiration is, and that's what you get out of art. That's what you get out of that art category. What inspiration is. I don't know his name, but they posted this in my group too. That, you know, Rihanna got those tattoos on her arm. I forgot what culture, what pantheon those were connected to. So I don't know what Rihanna connected to so many gods. It don't matter, and I love it. So I hope she keeps being successful. I hope all black women keep being successful. But there was an artist, a fashion designer, that designed those boots for her that she's wearing on her anti-tour now. I've seen them, also a picture of Jennifer Lopez in the group, but the boots are bad, ladies. But I saw in a video that was posted in my female archetype, my female mysteries group, that he was inspired by her tattoo to make those boots. Ladies, you are inspiration. But see, again, when you are talking to low minds, and when you are debating premises that don't matter, like parthenogenesis, honey, you're wasting your time. I'm going to say this and leave, because I've talked for an hour, which is an hour too long in my opinion. The information is there if you want to learn it. I'll just say that. It is not for you to go and find proof and validation of who you are inside of a male-dominated, male-oppressive state. Now, they can debate patriarchy all they want, and black men can say that. Black women aren't oppressed, bullshit. But they cannot say that black women don't have a male-centered mentality, that they don't have a male-dominant disposition. They do, because what we do is we result back to the man for everything. Our cosmologies are about male creation. our history about what males did or did not do during slavery or during wars or during our, you know, heightened times in Africa. What we believe and what we pass down orally to our daughters is that we must be good domestics. We need to get that ring. You know, we must be married. Everything is a, you know, if you have children out of wedlock, then that's a bad thing. You know, you couldn't get a man and you couldn't keep a man. See, that's the shit we're passing down to our daughters. So, and of course, all our myths are more so about men and male guys acting a damn fool, than our male fathers or female fathers teaching us any mythology about something that is connected to women. Even in that one story that I still do term mythological, Kirikou and the sorceress, they made the see, that's what I'm saying. Kirikou is the savior boy that saved his tribe or his village from the fetishes of the damn evil sorcerer, and you know, from the water and all this stuff. See, it's still about a hero based mythology. It's not about why the sorceress was pissed in the first place because of what them niggas did. It's about what he did and how, you know, he helped everybody and how he took the hero's journey as a boy to go conquer the heart of, you know, this sorcerer. And because, you know, now they've fallen in love, she's fine. See, that's the mythology. And ladies, I love Kirikou. I mean, I've seen it so much, and I think we even did a decode on it one time, or somebody did decode. I can't remember. It's been years. But I love the story, but it is still their myth. It's still their myth. Language. Ladies, I know for a fact that language is fucking us up. Because, and I even have to work on this myself, and I've been doing this for years, is because when we speak, ladies, to people about something, we tend to use the masculine words and pronouns first. We say women and men. We say he and she. We don't say, we say men and women and say he and she. We tend to not say women and men. See, I'm good at that. Thank you, I called it. I'm getting better at putting the woman first before the man. Ladies, that's not something I always did. I always wouldn't say woman and men. I would say men and women, that because that's what we're taught. Our language is masculine pronoun first. I've had to make sure and do this with a conscious intention to not put that masculine first, he and she, brother and sister. I have to make sure that I put sister and brother, she and he. It's something. If you try to do this, you're going to see just how patriarchal you are, just how much language has still given male dominance. So when they tell me that, you know, we're not under patriarchy, black men tell me that, again, that's somebody that I'm not going to have a conversation with, because if he does not understand that we are influenced by him, that we are dominated by him, even in speech, and that we are oppressed, by him, you know, he's going to make the argument for oppression. I don't care. Well, black women are still oppressed. Black women are going to be oppressed as long as there is a male God, as long as she is going to church and worshiping a male.